You might not be buying clothes now, but Stitch Fix is betting that when you do, you'll do it their way. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. Fashion has changed since the COVID-19 outbreak began in that there is none. Okay, I'm exaggerating a little, but what we're wearing has changed a lot. One company that knows exactly how much is Stitch Fix. It learns your style through a mix of online quizzes and algorithms and hires stylists who choose clothes specifically for you. You get a box of personalized items one at a time or as a subscription, keep what you want, and send back the rest. Behind the scenes, the company's tech predicts what you and people like you might like, so it's always updating inventory and its in-house brands. But what happens to a clothing company, even a super techie one, in a pandemic? Katrina Lake is the founder and CEO of Stitch Fix.
We've been able to meet the client where she is or where he is because our business model is predicated on this notion of personalization. And while, you know, we haven't seen these big macro disruptions all that often, we see it on the micro level all the time. We see people who are switching jobs and now they're in a more casual workplace. And so like those types of micro trends that we have been able to meet the client where he or she is for years and years, like that same muscle helped us in the last, you know, 6 months as we've seen this massive trend towards casualization and frankly, people buying less clothes, but buying more meaningful, more thoughtfully buying clothes that are really what they need in that exact moment.
How would it help you overcome something like supply chain lag, which we saw so many businesses suffer from?
I mean, our business model has always been, we put things out in the world, we can know within a matter of weeks, this color is working better than that one, this size, you know, we should only make this in these sizes and not those. And so that flexibility was already a capability that we were building with our vendors, where we needed them to be flexible because we had such great data so that we could evolve our buys. And so that was a muscle we already had created with our vendors. As we think about kind of big macro shifts, like, you know, something like the casualization of the workplace trend, like we actually already were working on that. Like we already knew that the workplace was becoming more casual. And so yes, like we pulled up a lot of volume and it happened faster than we anticipated. But I think this pandemic really has accelerated trends that were already happening.
What does the data tell you about what might be coming?
I think right now what we're seeing is like, you know, I think some of these changes are going to be permanent. You know, the data is showing us that, first of all, people are going to be buying apparel online in much, much greater proportions than they were historically. So right now, people are buying less clothes. People are going on fewer vacations. People have less weddings to go to. You know, all the reasons people are buying less clothes at this very moment. And even as the market is shrinking, we are growing in the face of that. So, you know, we are taking share in that world. At some point, some of those categories will come back up. Like people will start going back out, going to dinners, going on vacations. And so, you know, we do think some of that market will come back up. I do think that like some of the desire to be more thoughtful in what people buy, I think that's permanent. Like, I mean, we are all living with our things right now. And, you know, I think we are all realizing that there are things in our closet that we bought just because it was 80% off, or that we bought for just one occasion and it was super cheap. And now we feel weird about it being in our closet. And so I do think people are going to be more thoughtfully buying probably fewer things that mean more in their lives. And I think that's a good trend for us. And I think the casualization of the workplace is a permanent trend. I mean, I think that's one that's been happening for years and years. And, you know, if we imagine a world in which more people are working from home and people have more flexibility, you know, we're going to be asking our clothes to be serving more of a multi-purpose, you know, like kind of I want something that I can wear on Zoom and then work out and then come back to work and be on Zoom again, right? And so, you know, I think that there is going to be, I think that casualization or the workplace trend will certainly continue.
You mentioned that, you know, people may buy fewer things that have more meaning to them. How is that good for you?
Oh, that's great for us. Our business has always been about, we want to be your partner in helping you find things that you love. So, you know, if people are less likely to be buying things just because it's on a steep discount, or, you know, buying something to wear it once, even though it doesn't fit perfectly, like, this is actually how we win, is actually when people are really looking for the one thing that fits or the one thing they're going to really love. And that's where I think we, our capabilities around personalization are much, much, are really showcased. I think if people are much more focused on, like, I'm going to buy not as many things, but I really want to love them, like, that is great for us.
How, if at all, have you developed new technology or tweaked your existing recommendation technology during the pandemic?
Our core business has really been this fixed model where clients let us know what they're looking for and we send them items to try on in the comfort of their own home. And of course, that model is very resonant today. But we also have introduced direct buy in ways that people can engage with our recommendations in new ways. And so now people can actually use their app to be able to buy things directly from us from our recommendations. And that helps, you know, as people have more sporadic needs than they used to. And so, you know, we've really thought about, how do we capitalize on this moment when people are really thinking about kind of new ways to do things, and we be as relevant as we can.
Your chief operating officer said on your most recent earnings call that the company plans to automate more to improve efficiency. Can you give me some details about how that'll work?
You know, we still have a lot of low-hanging fruit in our operations. And, you know, this has been a business that grew to be, you know, $1.7 billion in just about 10 years. And so we built a lot of things quickly. And, you know, there's simple things, like, as examples, you know, we can make our warehouses more dense by having multiple kind of like layers of how we store things. And so that's kind of a simple example of, like, if we can actually build more vertically in our warehouses, we can make our warehouses more efficient. We also have been starting to use robots to help our operations associates to be able to do their jobs more efficiently. And so that's a capital investment that we've been making in our warehouses. And so, you know, I think there's still a fair amount of low-hanging fruit in terms of making sure that our warehouses can be as efficient and that we're using as much technology to make our warehouse associates' jobs as good as we can.
Got it. But you're not necessarily talking about algorithms that fully replace actual human stylists?
No, that's not actually what we were referring to there. I mean, our algorithms can continue to be better and better, but, like, our stylists are such a valuable and differentiating part of our business. Like, you know, I think we really believe that we can continue to invest in algorithms to help our stylists to be better and to help make our stylist jobs better and more effective and easier. But, you know, I think that, like, that combination is such a secret sauce of ours.
Katrina Lake is the founder and CEO of Stitch Fix. And now for some related links. Now, Stitch Fix did have a couple bad quarters while no one was buying much of anything, but its stock went up more than 12% in September, partly because of the direct buy change that Katrina Lake mentioned, where instead of a box of clothes selected for you, the app shows you individual items you can buy. And if you're already a customer, it shows items in your size that match things you've already bought. Danger. Sales of women's casual clothing in particular were up 350% last quarter compared to last year. And Amazon has noticed. The company has a personal shopper service as part of Prime Wardrobe. And at the end of September, the company expanded that service to include men's clothing. Interestingly, analysts told Business Insider that Stitch Fix would probably still have an advantage because of its predictive technology. Amazon says that, quote, hundreds of thousands of people are using the personal shopper service it launched in July of 2019. And if you want to geek out a little on using AI for fashion forecasting, Forbes talked to Stitch Fix's chief algorithm officer. Seems like vacation and wedding clothes are not big sellers right now. I didn't really need a machine to tell me that. While women are buying lots of house dresses and men are buying golf clothes. I feel like this information is on the verge of telling me something that I might get mad about, so I'm just going to move on. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.